This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So this week's episode, we are joined by a special guest, David Boyes of Today's Class. Today's Class helps shop owners create tailored training plans for shops so that you can get more buy-in and less burnout from your team. Why training fails in some shops, how to maximize the training that you are doing, and everything else in between is exactly what we're going to get into this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want a question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Also, don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, is available now on Amazon and Kindle for download. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot me a message at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to get your back office under control, give Alex at Wicked File a call. If you need to recruit top talent for your top team, give Promotive a call and let them help you out just as they have hundreds, if not thousands, of other shops. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Super excited today. I got David Boyes, president of Today's Class. He leads a company that provides training and development tools for the automotive aftermarket, shop owners just like you. Boyes is focused on using technology to address the evolving needs of modern vehicle and teams. Today's Class aims to offer accessible and effective training solution to bridge the gap between vehicle technology and technician knowledge. So, David, I gave you a very, very formal introduction there. Tell us a little about yourself, or more importantly, about Today's Class and what we're going to be talking about today of, does training pay?
It's a good question that everybody should be considering. So what Today's Class does is, we've been focused in automotive training for over 20 years. We've evolved how we've gone about that, from instructor-led training initially to traditional online training. And then a few years back, we came at it a different way to deliver training in shorter bursts, using adult learning proven tactics, using advanced technology, mobile phones, algorithms, AI, and so forth, to try and find a balance between making training effective and also allowing shops to fit it in to part of their day-to-day, which we know, you're talking to hundreds and hundreds of shop owners, that's one of the key barriers to getting training done is, you know, when in the world am I going to find time to do this?
And you kind of led me to my first question on there, because, you know, I've done my homework on you guys, right? I looked around, I make sure that I know my guests. But I notice a lot of what your business talks about now is the app. And so my big question is kind of what you alluded to there is, you know, obviously just with time, COVID, whatever you want to call it, you know, our world has changed over 20 years. Have you seen that same on the training side where, you know, not just apps, but like, hey, people, we used to do a lot more in-person hands-on, and virtually nowadays, none of these guys are doing, or is there still a place for that?
From the customers that we talk to, there's been a big drop off in the instructor-led training offerings that are available. So I think that depends a lot on your market, your affiliations, and so forth, if you have an instructor in the area. So that, I think, is definitely in aggregate come down quite a bit in terms of the availability for that. From an online perspective, most of the options that are out there are not significantly different than the online training that started rolling out in the early 2000s. Very course-centric. You might need a specific browser. Some of the questions that we want to challenge people and think about is that if you have somebody take a course, let's say in brakes or electrical, and it takes them 2 or 3 hours to do that, first of all, are they gonna carve out the time to do that? But then also when they're done, what do you feel like you know? The fact that they got to the finish line on that course, does that give you a sense that they understood everything, that they learned enough? Do you anticipate that they're going to remember that information forever and ever? So many of the online training solutions, both in this space and generally, still rely on that traditional model. And that's what where we think there's an opportunity to come at it a little different way, a little more flexible, a little more dynamic, a little easier to get to, but also very informed by data.
Yeah, and you make a really good point. There's probably are people, depending on where you are, that might be spoiled. Like, hey, if you have a couple of good trainers by you, you can have people come in, you know, in your shop and do this. And I see this stuff on social media. Some of my shop owners, clients hosting people to come in there. But yeah, I mean, I think that probably a lot of people don't hit the road and do training like that anymore. Now, one of the points here that you brought up that I thought was really cool is you kind of mentioned training, and me as a business owner, my team goes to training. So some of this I'm guilty of as well. But you kind of mentioned of like, hey, you send that technician to that 3-hour class and you're like, he went there for Toyota diagnostics. And I feel like a lot of business owners assume I sent this person to the class, they learned everything and we got, you know, good value out of that. And I could just tell in your voice that you thought that that was a mistake by just sending people to class and not really doing anything afterwards. So you want to kind of expand on that one?
And I wouldn't say it's a mistake. A lot of times there's a bit of a balancing act. I would say that the more specific a training is, like the one you mentioned, I think there's a higher likelihood that you're going to cover that material, work through it with clarity. I think sometimes where it's a little more challenging is, let's say, if you're trying to develop an apprentice into a C-tech, a C-tech into a B-tech, where those classes are a little more broad, there's a lot of material to cover. And I don't envy the instructors that are facilitating those 3-hour classes, because in many cases, I'd argue in most cases, they don't know who's in that class. They don't know what to focus on. So they often have to start, you know, really like at chapter one, get through chapter 10, cover everything. Ideally, everybody's getting something out of it. Ideally, the participants are raising their hand and engaging so they can get a sense of their audience. But that can be very tricky. It's a one-size-fits-all approach. And if you put 10 or 20 technicians in a room, I think it's reasonable to expect that they're all coming at different places. So that's where, if you think about the high school model, that's the way we were taught in high school. We're all brought in the same way and starting at the same level, and we work at the same rate. There's a lot of research that's available on adult learning that talks to the power of personalization of training, making it aligned to your job, making it aligned to your strengths and weaknesses and so forth. So if we can identify technicians that are struggling in drivability and specifically where they're having a hard time, and we can direct training to them, we think they can get a lot more out of it in a lot less time and really have that payoff. Meanwhile, we may have some other techs that need work in a different area, be it alignment, breaks, you know, anything that you need.
I love that, because I thought that you were going to come back with one answer and you came back with something completely different, right? I thought that you were saying, if you go to training, you don't come back and, you know, unpack that or kind of debrief it, then are they really learning it? But I love what you mentioned, because I see this when I teach classes. The more general the class, the less likelihood a large percentage of them are going to really enjoy it. People always call me up and they say, we want you to teach an advanced financials class. And I was like, I hate doing this because half the class is designed to be lost. Half the class is going to sign up where they shouldn't have signed up for it, and they're going to get nothing out of that. I love where you're going with this, because I think what you're saying is we need to be careful of these hours. We have a finite amount of time to either get these guys interest or just what free time they have available. And so making sure that you maximize that with tailored education is important. So if I'm a shop owner, how do I go out and kind of identify hotspots or, you know, key areas that I should focus on for that general service or that C technician?
So a lot of that comes down to whether it's what behaviors you're observing. But if you can get into the data, I would argue that that's a great place to start. So at the most basic level, you know, sometimes shops that we work with are focusing on gaps in ASEs, the fact that people aren't able to perform certain stages of work with confidence, with efficiency, and so forth. Where our customers tend to go is we provide them a lot of data that we gather. Our training focus, you know, challenges users and measures them each day. So we can paint a pretty clear picture about where somebody has gaps. And that's where what we do ties very well to what you're describing with like an advanced financials class. What we could do is identify within a cohort of folks, here are people that are really ready for Hunt's course. And you know, if you were open to it, we could tell you what this audience is looking like, what their gaps are, so you could tailor your training. So again, some of that back and forth we think is really helpful. So with the traditional operational data, there might be something, you know, related to your SMS that you can pour through. A lot of that really varies in our experience on how comfortable that shop owner is navigating and interpreting data. There's some that are really comfortable with it. There's some that aren't. So when we bring people into our platform, we devote a lot of time to training them on how to interpret our data, but we also manage that on their behalf as well. We can let you know, for example, if somebody's ready to go take the A5, you know, we can establish readiness and share that information with you.
Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from EuroClinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You could go and do this by yourself as a shop owner, because you could go and you could watch your team. You could listen to what they're saying. You could see what they're struggling on. You could compare time between technicians and see who is taking longer. But that seems like that it's really hard to do. I would have to be really focused on this stuff. And I think that if I'm not really paying attention well, I could just as easily miss something. So with your product, you've teased it enough on it. I think I know how it works, but what sets you guys apart? Like, how do you speed up that timeline so that you can, as an outside party, get this data and allow a shop owner to build a tailored plan for this team?
Yeah. So really the key thing that makes us different from the other solutions that are out there is that we focus on a daily training process. So it's typically 3 to 5 minutes of training each day. Most of our users use our mobile app for that, but you can do it on a tablet, you can do it on a desktop. But these daily training sessions push you in whatever area that you're assigned to. So a shop owner or manager would say, you know, we're going to focus Dave on B-level tech training. Maybe Hunt, you're going to get service advisor training because we support service advisors as well. But the system pushes you training and measures where you are each day. Now, it really does come down to how much information do we have about you. If you log in today and it's your first time and you do 3 to 5 minutes worth of training, we're not going to have a considerable amount of data to really make that judgment call. But over a few weeks, it really starts to build, and we measure not only knowledge, but confidence in areas as well. So you managers can see that I'm highly confident and highly knowledgeable in electrical. They are likely to see those results on the job in terms of how I do work. I'm efficient with it. I can handle any curveballs. I don't have to look up everything, and I can work through that. So again, it does take a little time for that data to accrue, but also as the system accrues data, then it's adjusting your training as well. So if the system detects that I'm great in electrical and weak in another spot, well, guess what? My training session tomorrow is going to focus in that area that I'm weaker on. I guess the key thing is that we don't know what we don't know. My manager doesn't know what I know and what I don't. You know, they might see certain behaviors, but based on what vehicles are coming across the bay here, it might be difficult to pinpoint that. So this gives us a pretty objective view about where somebody's knowledge is. And our content is more standardized, more ASC aligned, where you could really get a good feel where somebody is across these key systems.
Makes a lot of sense. And yeah, you're right. You know, if you look at, like, you know, I'm something weird, but like, hey, this technician struggles on some water pumps and does really well on others. If you look at this across all makes, It's like, hey, it's a water pump job. But when you get into those specifically, some of those are mechanical, some of those are electrical, a lot different. So I love the idea that you can kind of look at this. Are you saying that most people are doing this only 3 to 5 minutes a day and this is the core of their training? Or does this 3 to 5 minutes kind of tailor them to have, you know, outside training above and beyond that?
The 3 to 5 minutes is almost like the bare minimum that our users do. It's gamified. They earn points. They compete. So that's part of the hook each day. However, you're not limited to that. So many users will break off in that 3 to 5 minutes and say, I'm really struggling with respect to water pumps. I'm going to dive deeper into this resource that today's class offers. So really, I mean, there's a pretty broad spread of our users, the ones that are really that 3 to 5 minutes, they're in, they're out each day, and others that will literally spend hours. And what I will say is that this solution, given the data, really complements other training solutions quite well. You may have a great training partner that you work with. You might have access to another learning management system that provides deeper dives. You know, we can help guide you and say, all right, well, hey, this person's really thriving in this area. Let's line them up to go take that deeper dive.
I like that. So like what this could show them is they might be looking and they're like the guru of, you know, whatever kinds of transmission is going to be in our neighborhood. We should really pay good money to have this guy come in. And what a shop owner might be surprised is he looks at this and says, man, your team is killing it. They're good on this. Like they're very familiar and save your money. But then the other aspects of this is like, you know what? Make sure your team is ready to sign up for that class, because the last thing you want to do is sign them up for it and they're not prepared and end up wasting money again. So I love that idea. I mean, this is kind of where you talk about the return on investment stuff is a lot of guys say, you know, does training pay? This is really expensive. But right off the bat, something I didn't think about is maybe it pays to not doing some training or just picking the right one, not necessarily the dollar amounts. If you're looking at this, if you're going down through and you're kind of measuring shop owners before they signed up with you, before they implemented kind of tailored training plans and afterwards, do you have any numbers of like average time is going down or efficiencies or productivities, or how do you guys kind of measure the effects of this?
For an independent shop, a lot of it comes down to what we're seeing more from an engagement perspective, time spent. You know, we can certainly see knowledge growth over time, but sometimes tying the or correlating the data from the SMS to our system, which we can do, we just don't have enough data and that we're not doing enough water pumps over this period to really have enough data to spin that out. We have done that with larger groups, though, and we've been able to prove that out, whether it's decreased time, fewer parts being used because we're getting it done right the first time, you know, better consistency, those types of stats. So for the independent shop, I'm hopeful we'll get, you know, better integrations like that someday to give them more of a guide. But what we do see very effectively are things like, again, engagement, time spent, but also some of these soft ROI items as well, such as team engagement, team chat, or team discussion. Because what we see is that if I'm doing my daily training and I'm getting stuff about HVAC, I might pause and I might ask you about that. And that's where if we start having a conversation on it, the research shows that that learning, you know, switch in your brain is really flipped. And now you're very engaged on that. And not only am I learning from the app, you know, but I'm learning from my peer as well.
I love that. So you're saying of like, hey, hun, you can't only look at a return on investment of obviously the trained people are going to be more efficient and going to do more of quality work, but also you're kind of shifting the culture of like, don't ask him about this. You know, he's old and crusty too. Like this is an environment where we're going to be training people and we're going to openly share this stuff. I like that.
Yeah. And I'll just add on that. I mean, we see that a lot. I mean, we do have, sometimes there's a little bit of resistance or concern about an app-based training if you have a staff that, you know, that is older. And we see a pretty decent split. Some folks are really into it, some aren't. But again, I think some of the key there is that we don't know what we don't know, as I said a minute ago, and things could have changed. If I learned something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, do we really believe that nothing is improved in that area? So that's why we really advocate for the idea of you got to stay on top of this. If you're only checking in on what the latest and greatest is once every 5 years, you're likely missing out on something.
So I told you I was going to grill you on this, but these are the common complaints that I hear from my shop owners is, all right, David, all this sounds great, but I can't get my guys to do training. They just don't want to do it. I'm sure you've seen a shop owner like this. what is that shop owner doing wrong, or what could they do differently to, like you said, create a culture of learning, create a culture of growing?
And that's a battle we face a lot. And as we engage with shop owners, we really try to manage those expectations, because in our world, you don't just have to train once a week, once a month, once a quarter. You have to do it pretty much every day. So the bar for us is pretty high in terms of that training consistency. So for the shop owner says, I can't get my guys to do any of that. Well, we may not be the right fit for you. We'd love to talk and see how it bears out. But honestly, that's one of the things we're very, very clear on. Where we really try to dial it in is, why in the world do you want to train anyway? What are you looking to do? We can aim this training at these business objectives that you have. Is your objective that you're looking to build bench strength and develop younger staff or less experienced staff? Are you looking to take service advisors who are great with people, but don't know anything about technical systems? Are you looking to use ASEs as a guide to make sure your people are prepared, because that's how you pay them and they struggle with that? So what we really encourage shop owners to think about is, first, why are you doing this in the first place? What are you looking to get out of it? And then when we think about the employees, what's in it for me? Why should they do that? Is there a pay benefit to them? Is there a development benefit for them? Is it going to improve their job in any way? And if we can connect those two items, then we tend to be on a pretty good path to move this forward.
But how much of this is, like you mentioned, these people just not wanting to do it, not having interest in training? And how much of it do you think is people getting bad training or ineffective training that was redundant in the past?
I mean, I think it's a bit of both. And we certainly hear, you know, that frustrations about attending an evening course, for example, where you commit 3 hours and there's 10 good minutes for you. I mean, we hear that all the time. Again, I think that's more of a function of the instructor not knowing who's in the room and trying to make sure everybody gets something. But I think that's understandable for that participant to be frustrated. In our world, we'll get that sometimes too. Our system can't know immediately where you need help, but it also focuses on your weaknesses. So we do have some users that get frustrated with that in our experience, because, like, why do I keep getting this type of training? And it's because you're struggling with it. I think people that embrace that and want to understand why, they really thrive when people feel a little bit uncomfortable and aren't liking being challenged. Or let's say maybe you're the most experienced tech in the shop and you're not performing very well. There could be some ego boost to that. But again, it's a very objective, very scientific way that we're doing this. And again, we can point out where you need help. And if you really want to embrace it, you can dive in. But people have to want to learn. Motivation is a humongous factor when it comes to learning. And if you lack that, whether it's us or another provider, you're going to have a hard time getting that person to work through the training.
Sometimes ego gets in the way. You can see why training would be worthless if you know everything, right, as a technician or an advisor. But maybe sometimes, you know, sometimes it's ego. Maybe sometimes it's just confidence of, like, hey, I'm really sharp on this stuff. And until you do it or see it again, oh, maybe I haven't done that in a while, need to brush up. So I love that idea. You kind of mentioned one before there, and obviously you're not paying these guys on it, but what are you hearing? Are people paying their technicians to go to training? They're obviously paying for the training for their technicians. Or on the other side of it, are they kind of, you know, showing them of, like, hey, this is an investment in you that you're going to be able to keep and carry on, and that's the value there?
We see a blend. I think a combination tends to be the most sustainable. I think painting it as, this is part of your job, me as the shop owner, I'm investing in you and this is expected of everybody, I think that goes a long way, because when you're picking favorites or only this person needs to train, I think that can be a little tricky to have be consistent over time. So I think the investment in each employee is really the baseline. But then it's, all right, how are we taking this to another level to have people, incentivize them to get it done? So common levers that we hear are time. We expect 20 hours of time per year that you're going to do training. And we're going to use today's class because that's very convenient for you to do it. You can do more if you want, but I'm making this the easiest way possible for you to do this. We've got other groups that will use more completion-based metrics. You need to, you know, get through this disc brakes course, this, you know, HVAC's topic and so forth. And that's how they incentivize them. And then we've got a lot that use our point system, where it can be a little fun, a little nicer, where we're setting the bar here, guys, where you have to earn this many points over this time period. And if you do, great. You get a spiff, you get a bonus, or you're eligible for, we do like raffles and auctions. So sometimes that combination of factors goes a long way. However, you know, we recognize that these shop owners have 1,000 things going on. So we don't want to overcomplicate this. So again, we help them with that and we try to keep it as simple and measurable and clean as we can so that if you're a technician, you know where you stand as well. So you know if you're going to hit that number, be able to earn that bonus and so forth.
Yeah, you can lead them to water. You can't force them to drink, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that you made a really good point about gamifying this and also having this be a culture. Like one of the things that you mentioned on there was leading with that expectation. Like when you come into this job, everyone gets training. It's not you're underachieving, you're overachieving on this. Everyone gets training. When you have a better kind of idea on people's strengths or weaknesses, have you seen people dispatching their work differently? Like the advisors dispatching work differently now? Because I guess there, everyone knows the strengths and weaknesses of a shop, but now you have real data. This guy is terrible at driveline stuff. Do you see people changing their dispatching just by learning this stuff?
Yeah, certainly. You know, again, they have to be comfortable navigating that data. And I think if they look side by side with what they're seeing on the shop floor, what they're seeing in the SMS, they can really tie that together. Often what we'll see is because they've got all that history, those behaviors, those observations over the years. And sometimes as the knowledge data starts to trickle in, they're like, I knew it. This person did not know this here. So I think in many cases, we're the trailing indicator there. But then as they move forward, they have a better understanding of how to leverage that, you know, in the future.
Because like I always joke about this, it's like there's four different kinds of technicians, A tech, B tech, C tech, and then the tire guy, the general service guy. But like, what a subjective thing. I mean, how many people out there have that C tech that's running circles around other people? And that's one of the cool things that I, when I was looking through this, that really kind of jumped out to me of like, man, look at this data to really understand who you have in the shop. You don't have an A-tech that can do everything. Probably an A-tech that can do most everything, but now this is highlighting what it's not doing. I also think that this is really cool because I think that the future of this is trying to get more people involved in the industry and training their own. How much are you seeing shop owners use this to get kind of younger green people up to speed? Or how much of this is kind of sharpening skills for veterans? Or do you think it's kind of has its place for both?
I think it has its place for both. I think the assumption generally is that app-based gamification is going to, you know, be comfortable for folks that are in their 20s, early 30s, for example. That's a pretty easy way for us to kind of snap into that environment. But again, we do often see folks that are in their 50s, 60s, and so forth really getting into it. You know, I don't, using the term old dog, new tricks, I mean, there's certainly some folks that are resistant to that for one reason or another. We don't hear as often. So we launched this product in 2019. I think maybe once a year now we'll hear that, well, I've only got a flip phone sort of a thing. You know, in 2019, that was, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 times a year, but that's thinning up. But I think most people are comfortable with this approach. But I also think if you can get them to pause for a second and say, or if you attend a 3-hour course, how much of that do you really think you're absorbing? How long do you think you're going to remember that after you leave? And if you can get people thinking about that, okay, what are better ways where I can educate myself and stay sharp? I think our approach fits well into that because again, we'll push each day. We'll also reinforce that stuff over time. It's no different than any other skill. You know, whether it's playing an instrument or golfing, whatever it is, if you don't do that, if you don't flex that mental muscle or that physical muscle for 6 months, I don't think you can anticipate, you know, the first time you come back to it, that you're going to crush it. So we believe it's really important to stay consistent with it. We're trying to provide a very easy way to do that. And we think having that knowledge at the ready will be helpful, you know, when you really need it.
Yeah. And what better time as these guys' jobs gets harder and harder every day, right? More complicated. Awesome. Well, David, I want to thank you. This has been an incredible conversation. I know I learned a ton. I'm sure everyone listening did too. If someone says, you know what, I have screwed up in the past, but I'm back to getting my training and building a culture of training in my shop, what's the best way for them to reach out to you or learn more about you and your business?
Website's the best spot. www.todaysclass.com.
Awesome. And we'll put some links here in the show notes for you guys to get in contact and learn more about it. But Yeah, David, just want to say thanks again for coming on and talking to everyone. And yeah.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that. And like I mentioned, I will put all David's contact information in the show notes if you would like to learn more. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Repair Podcast Network. Remember, you can find the rest of the shows on the new Aftermarket Repair Podcast Network app and on the rest of your favorite podcast listening apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.